The topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. You are my desire. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, you will live for a very long time as an ancestor spirit or demon. You could be in the ground with your corpse. You could be in a cremation oven. You might be picked up and put onto another human being or an animal and used for Satan's purposes. Whatever it is, it's not going to be fun. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me in heaven when they do not believe I exist?" Equally, if you die as a believer without any form of relationship, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me they can be trusted in this life?" So I would ask you, if you fall into either of those categories, I would suggest tonight is a good way, a good day, to change your behavior. This program is about a diversity of concepts and principles with regard to coming into a deep personal relationship with your mighty Creator. So I hope you will listen to the end and that you'll get value from this. Tonight's program is the true name of the Creator is Yah. It's Y-A-H, Yah, part 2. Regarding this, the Almighty has said, "If you love me, you will call me by my true name." This entire program relates to the statement that the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to grow and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seek such relationship with me." I pray that tonight you will decide to seek a deep personal relationship with your Father in heaven. Overview of tonight's program. The broadcast looks at the true name of the Almighty in the Bible in more detail. There is some repetition with last week's program, but I hope this will reinforce the core message. We will look at the statement by the Almighty that if we love him, we will call him by his true name. We will remember the commandment to not take the name of the Almighty in vain and examine some implications and some critical factors arising from this. We will examine the truth of the names Yahweh and Yahweh and not the Lord, and we will discuss the true name Yah, the eternally self-existing. We will look at names that reference Yah. We will note that Yahushua, you may know him as Jesus, means Yah is salvation. We will note that Elohim translates as Almighty or Mighty One, not God, and we will look at other names or descriptors of the Almighty. We will pose some questions about your relationship with the Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering. I was a strategic management consultant in South Africa for about 25 years and more recently a business executive in the UK. I have over 26 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty. Following a dramatic encounter with him on the 12th of March 1993, when he spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that he was real. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, and physical books. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. Excuse me. Questions from last week's program. Jan asked, if we used to be this tall, why are we not able to be that tall anymore? Number of factors. First of all, since human beings have been serving Satan for over 6,000 years from the time that Adam sinned, they have degraded spiritually, physically, emotionally, in every possible, intellectually, in every possible way. And so we're physically degraded that we just aren't that tall anymore. And we're not going to get to be that tall ever again. In addition to that, after the flood, which we spoke about a few weeks ago, the earth expanded quite substantially. So the gravitational forces on the surface of the earth decreased. And that affected our height. Those are two factors that have influenced it, but it's primarily degradation because of the falling away of man. John asks, if you go by a nickname, does it mean you're not as close to him? No, that was not my point. My point is that the Almighty doesn't like being called by anything other than his true name. The fact that we have what you might call nicknames does not alter the fact that he doesn't like it. If you have a nickname and you're comfortable with that nickname, well, that's your prerogative. Grace asked, so it is okay for meditating and believing in God? I'm not totally sure what you're asking there, Grace. It is absolutely okay to meditate and believe in the Almighty. I would not call him God today. Call him Father, call him Almighty, call him Yah. Call him Yah, the eternally self-existing. Call him Yahweh if you must. Not God. It is absolutely okay to meditate and believe in him. Bill stated the internet messes up our youth. Not going to argue with that. Like most things in life, things have the internet has its good side and its bad side. So there are things on the internet which are really repulsive and repugnant and which you don't want to look at. But there are also things that are beautiful and present. I would not have the information I have today were it not for the internet, and I would not be able to reach you today the way I do and reach my people with emails, etc., without the internet. So, as in all things, you have to exercise your discretion and see what you take and what you don't. So tonight we're going to look at the true names of the Almighty in the Bible, looking at a summary dated December 2010. In December 2010, I wrote, about 10 years ago, the Almighty started to deal with me about a wide variety of issues. One of these was his true name. So in other words, 20 years ago. I quickly encountered teachings which stated that his name was Yahweh, based on a fairly widely used transliteration of the Hebrew YHWH, which occurs over 5,000 times in the books of the Bible from Genesis to Malachi, the so-called Old Testament. As he led me further, I discovered that this word was more accurately transliterated as Yahweh, Y-A-H-O-O-E-H, and that it was more accurately translated as Yah, the eternally self-existing. From this I came to understand that the essential name of our Almighty Creator, our Father in Heaven, was Yah, and from there I discovered that there were well over 100 names and words in the Bible that contained the name Yah in the Hebrew, although completely lost in the traditional English translations. For example, the name we know as John is actually Yahuchanan, which means Yah has grace. That's Y-H-O-O-C-H-A-N-A-N. In the same process, I realized that the man most of us know as Jesus Christ was a Hebrew or Jew, more accurately Yahudite, Y-A-H-O-O-D-I-T-E, and not a Greek, and that accordingly his name could not be Jesus. It had to be a Hebrew name. I encountered various interpretations of what this name might be, including Yeshua, Y-E-S-H-U-A, meaning salvation. But in time I came to understand that his name was Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A. So the Yahu as in Yahweh, the Almighty's name, and Shua meaning salvation. This word means Yah is salvation. It's also transliterated as Yahshua, Y-A-H-S-H-U-A, or Yahushua, Y-A-H-U-S-H-U-A. And there are other derivatives. But Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, is the most exact. It's translated as Joshua in the books pre-Yeshua, the so-called Old Testament, but translated Jesus in the books about Yeshua and after Yeshua, the so-called New Testament. I discovered that the Hebrew word generally translated as God was in fact a technical term, Elohim, which means mighty one or almighty, depending on context. Elohim can be applied to the Almighty, generally translated as God, pagan deities also translated as God, and also to human beings. Elohim is not an exclusive reference to the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth. Almighty is. Other words translated God include Allah, E-L-L-A-H, the Aramaic for Elohim, which is effectively Allah, A-L-L-A-H, in Arabic, and El, E-L, and Eli, E-L-I, which in some applications effectively means my personal mighty one or my beloved mighty one, as when Yeshua cried out on the stake or cross, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, meaning my beloved mighty one, my beloved mighty one, why have you forsaken me? Matthew 27, verse 46. That was Matthew 27. Note that Matthew is more correctly translated as Matit Yahu, M-A-T-T-I-H, Y-A-H-O-O, meaning gift of Yah. Eli can also be translated as my darling mighty one. So strictly speaking, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani means my darling, why have you forsaken me? It's a reflection of the intensity of Yahushua's relationship with his Father in heaven. At the same time, I came to understand that the commonly used names for the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, were blasphemous. And it was only as an act of great love and grace that he answers prayers in those names. Specifically, the Lord is an accurate translation of Baal, the pagan god of sexual immorality, and God, or Gawd, G-A-W-D, is the name of the Babylonian demonic deity of good luck, subsequently adopted by the Germanic people and then adopted by English-speaking people as the name of the Almighty. I also came to understand that Jesus is derived from Iesus, I-E-O-S-U-S, which in turn is derived from Zeus, Z-E-U-S, another pagan deity. I then came to understand that these names were grievously hurtful to our Father in heaven, Yah, the eternally self-existing, and to Yahshua, and that Yah only answered to them as a great act of mercy and grace because of the level of deception of those who have some level of relationship with him. Yah summed it up to me as follows: James, how would you like it if your wife called you by the name of your worst enemy? I got the point, and I changed my language immediately. It was a bit of a battle because the old words were ingrained, but I corrected over time. Most, if not all, of these errors can be traced back to the period from about 300 AD, when the Roman Church was apostatizing, distancing itself from its Hebrew roots, and making compromises with Satan to make it easier for pagans to so-called convert. Folks, this is so important. What the demonic and satanic realm have succeeded in doing is getting human beings, or many human beings, to use words like God and the Lord and Jesus, which are actually the name of demonic mighty ones, demonic masterminds. And so they claiming so much of the worship, so much of the praise. Father extended grace for this, but in 2003, that grace was completely withdrawn when Satan was sentenced and sent to the pit. It was withdrawn in 2001, and then that was finally concluded in 2003. Folks, so important to use the right names. If you love him, call him by his true name, Yah. Talking of covenants, I've recently come to understand that all sins that relate to breaking the Ten Commandments, which are the essence of the covenant between Yah and man, if they occur repeatedly, result in a covenant with Satan and demonic infestation, at the very least once you've been exposed to the truth. I also came to understand that Christ is a meaningless term that substitutes for a simple English translation, which is anointed with the Spirit of Yah, or anointing of the Spirit of Yah, or one anointed with the Spirit of Yah, depending on context. Thus, Christian means an anointed one, or one anointed with the Spirit of Yah. From this I understand that Christ is not synonymous with Jesus or Yahshua, and that it is presumptuous for one to call themselves a Christian. Who am I to presume to describe myself as being anointed by the Spirit of Yah? That is something for others to decide. The Almighty is merciful. Psalm 103, verse 8. Yah, the eternally self-existing, is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. This does not mean we should treat his name lightly or call him by other names. This broadcast sets out the above in more detail. Folks, I've encountered quite a few people who've said, well, this doesn't really matter. I've got a relationship with him. He knows who I'm talking about. He's always answered me when I've called him God or the Lord or whatever. Folks, he loves you if you're a believer. Why abuse him? Why insult him? Why hurt him? It just doesn't make sense. Just change, please. As I say, he said to me, if you love me, call me by my true name. My name is James. In English culture, this is frequently abbreviated as Jim. For reasons I really cannot explain, I have always been particular about my name. I do not like being called Jim, and barring a few close friends who presume to call me Jim anyway, I've never been called Jim. They are no longer friends. James is a poor translation of the Hebrew Yaakov, Y-A-A-K-O-V, English Jacob or similar. When I first started communicating with people on the internet who had come to understand something about the true names of the Creator, somebody replied to my email calling me Yaakov. I was not amused. My name is James, and it is James, no matter where I am in the world and what language is being spoken to introduce me. Names are not to be translated. Again, a very important point, folks. It's really not respectful to try and render Father's name other than its true pronunciation. Yes, you're going to spell it differently, potentially in different languages, because the language is different. But at the end of the day, it's going to sound like Yah, whatever language you speak, because that's his name. How can people presume to put their own spin on the name of the Almighty Creator? It's just so insensitive, so foolish, so uncaring. He wants to have a loving relationship with you. Please don't insult him. Going back to my earlier point, when having shown me his correct name, the Almighty said to me, James, how would you like it if your wife insisted on calling you by the name of your worst enemy? I immediately got the point and started to use the correct names. Consider also 1 John 5 verse 3. For this is the love of Yah, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Surely if you love the Almighty, you will keep his commandments, including the commandment not to take his name in vain. In order to not take his name in vain, you must know what his name is, and realize that substituting other words for his name is taking his name in vain. In listening to what follows, it will be very easy for you to get into an argument with me on the basis, but that is what I've always called him, or I've been praying in those names for years and he has always answered me. Why should I change? Or I've experienced miracle in those names. How can they be wrong? As I said before, he is merciful and gracious and loving. He's lonely. If you start to have a relationship with him, he will respond to you. But it's not right that just because he responds to you because he loves you, that you should take advantage of his mercy and his grace and his love. If you want really to hear those words, well done, my good and faithful servant, at the end of your life, you need to take what I'm sharing with you seriously. Coming back to those arguments, the answer to all of these arguments is roughly, just because our Almighty Father has extended mercy and grace to you by answering your prayers in these names, and has even performed miracles to your benefit because of his great mercy, does that mean you have a license to disregard the truth now that you have learned the truth? If you love him, call him by his true name, please. I appeal to you as you listen to what follows. Bring these issues before our Father in heaven and seek confirmation. And as soon as you have it, then change your language. In fact, if you listen to what follows carefully and prayerfully, you should not need much prayer to confirm that you should change. In fact, if you listened to last week's program and tonight's program, you really shouldn't have any reason not to change. I have a more detailed article, The True Name of the Almighty in the Bible, which discusses some aspects of this article in more detail. Look at the item on the menu of the website relating to the name of the Almighty. Drill down under that and you'll find this article. It goes into a lot of detail. There are a lot of graphical images off a computer program with Hebrew text and translations and Strong's numbers. It's a very, very thorough article. And there are a substantial number of Hebrew names that contain Yah, which have meanings like Yahushua, meaning Yah is salvation. I really commend that to you. It's very difficult to convey that in the radio. Rather go to the website and have a look at it. Exodus 20 verse 7 says, thou shalt not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, thy mighty one, in vain. For Yah, the eternally self-existing, will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Now, the typical translation is the Lord your God. But since the Lord your God has got absolutely nothing to do with the true name of the Creator, how can you comply with the commandment if you call him the Lord your God? You can't. You need to know the truth. Then you will know, if you speak Afrikaans, that the word for yes, Yah, is a blasphemous name. You will know that if you have a yahoo.com email address, it's a blasphemous name. You will know that if you're German and you say Yah or Yavol, it's a blasphemous name. You'll stop using it. So many people in so many languages say something like Yah for yes. I find a lot of English speakers do that, even in the UK. People in India do it. Yah, Yah, yes, Yah. Folks, it's a blasphemous name. You are going to end up spending some time in hell paying the price for using that name in vain. If you don't know the name, how are you going to get it right? The verse is definitive, particularly once you apply the correct translation, as I've just done. Do not make light of or mock or disdain or use lightly or cheapen or in any other way use the name of the Almighty in vain. As you will see in the as you will hear in the sections that follow, these names are clear-cut and distinct, and there can be no excuse for using other names. Yahweh or Yahweh, not the Lord. The first aspect of the truth regarding the names of the Almighty that I encountered related to the word that is traditionally translated the Lord, that is the and then in capital letters Lord, L-O-R-D. This word is Strong's number 3068. Strong's is the most authoritative concordance or dictionary relative to the Protestant Bible, and it assigns numbers to every single word in the Bible. The reality is that those who translated the Bible and those who work with the Hebrew text all know that the Hebrew Yahweh, Y-H-W-H, is not in any meaningful way related to the Lord. The basic theory of why this is done is that it is allegedly a long-standing Jewish tradition to avoid using the true name of the Almighty in case they take it in vain. So by the time of Yahushua, or Jesus as you might know him, it was common practice to substitute Adonai, A-D-O-N-A-Y, one of the Hebrew words for Lord, in place of Yahweh or Yahuwah. And so the early English translators extended this by using Lord instead of the true name. Folks, remember that the early translators were being persecuted, they were being burnt at the stake, they were being beaten, they were being locked up in jail. It wasn't easy, and we've continued these traditions. But today with the internet, we've got a very liberal, safe society. There is absolutely no reason not to use, not to know the correct names and not to use them. Went so far that in the Jewish tradition, the true name was even removed from certain texts. And there are over 100 instances recorded in Jewish religious writings where such substitution is noted. So in other words, they removed the word Yahweh or Yahuwah and they replaced it with Adonai. Folks, it's an example of completely wrong religious thinking. The answer to the problem is not to pretend it doesn't exist. It's to teach people accordingly that they keep the commandment. Returning to that point, it seems that the English translators simply conformed to this tradition in the process, effectively making the name of the Almighty of no effect. This word occurs over 5,000 times in the books of the Bible relating to the period prior to the birth of Yahushua, the anointed of Yah. See the screen dump from the PC Study Bible on the website. While Yahweh is the most commonly occurring English forms, it turns out that Yahuwah is more accurate. Thus we find that the website and email service www.yahoo.com is a blasphemous name, and shouting Yahoo as an exclamation of victory or excitement is also blasphemous. So much confusion, so much error. Going into the dark ages, everything was corrupted. Coming out in the Renaissance, in the rebirth after the Dark Ages, we are still clawing back from the era of those times. I encourage you to seek truth. So if you have a yahoo.com email account, you need to move away from it as a priority. Set up a Gmail account or similar. You can ask for mercy to keep the old account for historical purposes, but you should immediately start using an alternative account and notifying all who write to you as to why you are changing. When you get emails to your Yahoo account, you can copy and paste the email address into your Gmail account and reply from there, or forward to the Gmail account and reply from there. I recently had a vision at the time I wrote this 10 years ago. I had a vision of people using Yahoo accounts crawling with demons. But then there's greater complexity. Folks, changing from a yahoo.com email address is a hassle. No question about it. It's going to take some time. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some significant inconvenience. And if you don't really love Father and you don't really care, well, it really doesn't matter. If you're an unbeliever, so what? You can do what you like. If you're a believer, well, if you do this, if you don't change, you are going to spend some time in hell and be tormented for your error. So it's not worth it. But if you love Father, you change anyway. It's not such a big deal. Go to Gmail. There are numerous other free email accounts. Just be a bit careful about what you go to. And then go on from there. It's really not that difficult. So Yahweh means Yah, the eternally self-existing. So from this we deduce that the essential name of the Almighty is in fact not Yahweh or Yahweh or similar. It is in fact Yah, Y-A-H. And thus we see that names that sound like Yah, for example, Yah meaning yes in Afrikaans, are also blasphemous. So we see the wiles of Satan. First, he tricked mankind into substituting other words for the true name of the Almighty, so they forgot it. And then he tricks mankind into using words that sound like the name of the Almighty in order to trap us into breaking the third commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of Yahweh in vain, or thou shalt not take the name of Yah, the eternally self-existing, in vain. And then they use that sin to put demons on people and lead them into greater and greater error and lead them further and further away from Father. By losing sight of the true name of the Almighty, that is Yah, we also lose sight of the extent to which his name is referenced in the Bible. Those who have not repented of the sin by the day of judgment will find themselves at least a part in the lake of fire, which is the second death, see Revelation 21:8, or in hell being tormented. Basically the same thing. Names that reference Yah. Once I was sensitized to the true name of the Almighty, Father arranged for me to obtain a copy of the Bible in the version known as the Scriptures, published by the Institute of Scripture Research and available from http://www.kodesh.co.za. That's QODESH.co.za. If you have a need to read the Bible, if you think the Bible is important, this is not the easiest translation to read, but it is a reasonably accurate translation. It's still got some errors around the person of Yeshua, etc., but it's more accurate in terms of what we're talking about here than most versions. As I read this version of the Bible and referenced other sources, I became aware that the name of Yah permeates the Hebrew texts of the books prior to the ministry of Yeshua, the anointed of Yah, Jesus Christ. Names like Elijah, which is actually Eliyahu, Yah is my personal or beloved mighty one. Judah, which is actually Yahudah, Y-A-H-O-O-D-A-H, which means praise Yah. Joshua, which is actually Yahushua, Yah is salvation. There are over 100 names that reference Yah in the Old Testament. Jew is actually Yahudite, one of Yehuda, Judah, Yah, A-H-O-O-D-I-T-E, the descendants of Yehuda, Y-A-H-O-O-D-A-H. So if one curses the Jews or speaks ill of them, one is cursing Yah as well. I'm not in these broadcasts going to go through all of these names because there are many of them, and it's going to be quite tedious reading the Common English, reading the Hebrew transliteration and spelling the words out. I think it'll be impractical, but it's well worth visiting the website and reading that article. Names that reference Yah, and so it goes, a rich tapestry of names, often describing the ministries and callings of numerous well-known characters in the books, in the Bible. So Yahushua, Yah is salvation. That is what Yahushua came to do. He came to bring a new way of salvation. So when he was called Yahushua by the Almighty, it was a statement of what he was coming to do. These same attributes are present in the so-called New Testament, the books relating to the ministry of Yahushua and what followed, but they are more concealed because of the reliance on the Greek texts, because of the loss of the Hebrew texts. Yahuchanan, Yah has graced, the name of John the Baptist, actually Yahuchanan the Immerser, the man whose ministry to Yahushua, Yah is salvation, ushered in the era of grace from Yah. And so as one becomes sensitized to the correct names, one becomes sensitized to the way that early believers were totally immersed in, absorbed with, committed to Yah, such that they named their children with names that included Yah. They named their children with names that were a statement of intent for their ministry. Folks, let that sink in a minute. We are so far away from Father in this generation. And yet there are people who think that this is the most righteous, most God-fearing generation that's ever lived. It's just not true, folks. We're corrupt and dissolute. Bunch of people who hardly know the Almighty. We need to change. Coming back again to Yahushua, Y-A-H-O-O-S-H-U-A, Yah is salvation. I've already mentioned that name several times. It's the correct name of the man most people know as Jesus. His very name was a prophetic statement of the role he would play on the earth. But note also that he was not the first Yehudite Jew to be called by this name. Joshua, who led Israel into the promised land, was also actually called Yahushua. And the reason that the name of Yahushua is the name above all names is simply because there's nothing greater in all creation than the salvation of Yah. If you say that Jesus is the name above all names, folks, it's got no substance. You're relying on magic. It's really, really meaningless. But we've been seduced into it by the forces of darkness, by the lies that have been believed by generation after generation, by naive and trusting people who've not questioned the translations of the Bible, that have not questioned the pastors, by the pastors who've not questioned the Bible. Folks, there is so much sloppy thinking in modern religion. We need to be constructively critical of what is being dished up in the churches and the mosques and the synagogues and the wherevers. It doesn't matter what your religion is, it's corrupt. Then Elohim, E-L-O-H-I-M, the Almighty, Mighty One, not God. The Almighty Creator is also very frequently referred to as God. In fact, many people think that his real name is God. Fact is, the word most frequently translated as God is Elohim, which should be accurately translated as Mighty One, or in certain contexts, Almighty. To complicate matters, Elohim applies to the Almighty Mighty One, who is the Mighty One of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but it also applies to demonic mighty ones like Baal and Satan, and it can also be applied to a king or ruler or other powerful human being. Thus, because a being is a god, a mighty one, that does not mean that they are the Almighty. In fact, for reasons that I will discuss in a minute, it is an insult to call the Almighty God, and it is grace that he has seen fit to answer to this name for all these years. If one loves our Father in heaven, we will substitute the Almighty or Mighty One for all occurrences of God, depending on context, in anything we are reading or singing, where it is clear that this is referring to the Almighty, and use Mighty One for other gods. If you want to overcome to the end, this is one of the things you need to overcome. If you want to be found a good and faithful servant at the end of your life, this is one of the things you need to be obedient to and attentive to. Otherwise, you're going to be seriously disappointed when you die. Other names, the Almighty, El, Eli, Eloah, Elah. As I researched further, I found that there were other words in addition to Elohim that were applied to the Almighty. These include El, E-L, and Eli, E-L-I, which appear to be simply abbreviated forms of Elohim, but which in context, at least in some cases, such as Yeshua dying on the stake, is a form of endearment. My darling Mighty One, or my personal Mighty One, or my beloved Mighty One, all referencing Yah. Eloah, E-L-O-A-H, and Allah, E-L-L-A-H, are simply Aramaic forms of Elohim, the Hebrew, used in the same way as Elohim. Noticeably, Allah, A-L-L-A-H, the Arabic form of Allah, the Aramaic, also can refer to the Almighty. Thus, it is an error to state that Muslims are worshipping another mighty one. Some of them may be, because Allah is no more exclusive to Yah than it is Elohim, but if by Allah they mean Almighty, the Almighty, then they are referring to the Almighty. Since God is not being used exclusively to refer to the Almighty, this is not really an issue. All should be referring to the Almighty Creator of the heavens and earth, or to Yah. The error of the Muslims is far less than the error of the Christians on this topic. Folks, there is so much religious strife and condemnation and pride and judgment and what have you. The Christians attack the Jews attack the Christians, the Muslims attack the Christians attack the Muslims, and so on and so on and so forth. Folks, focus on your error and fixing your error and learning truth. Stop worrying about the beam in the eye of the people around you. So, in conclusion for today, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I would like to ask you right now to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? And as a friend, do you speak to him regularly, Do you consult him? Do you ask his opinion? Do you ask his guidance? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? Probably not, because there are very, very, very few people on the earth today who are truly friends of the Creator. Do you pray prayers that give him authority to act in your life? Show me the level of my present deception and how to correct it. Judge me severely and correct me harshly that I may serve you more perfectly. Lead me by your Spirit every second of every day in every possible way. Help me to bring you joy every day. Bless me indeed, enlarge my territory in relationship with you, in knowledge of you and your ways and your will and your kingdom, in the anointing of your Spirit, in humility, in harmony, in health, and in finances. Thank you that your messengers, angels, encamp around me to protect me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against me in unrighteous judgment will be refuted. If you're not doing all these things, folks, you're failing in your life purpose and will be bitterly disappointed when you die. Five key documents which provide an overall context to this whole program over the last year and a half. On the website, the main menu pages, the Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. Seven components in drawing close to the Creator. If you decide you want to get closer to Father, go to that page on the website, download that article, and put it into practice. It's over 70 pages, executed prayerfully, and I guarantee you, if you really do it diligently and prayerfully with a right heart attitude, in a couple of years you will be close to Father. Recommended worship: the Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing, the program that we're busy with at the moment. Where will you spend eternity? What is required in order to qualify to sit on the high throne for eternity? Very important. All available at endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom of the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at http://relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's relationship with relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page, and are physically available from me if you email me. I publish regular email articles. Email james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions on the W4CY webpage. I will answer them next broadcast. Please email me to join the mailing list at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know, and we can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week, when we will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Folks, I hope by now you've decided you want to get close to Father. I hope by now you've decided to turn over a new leaf and refocus. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter how old you are, or how young you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are. It doesn't matter how well educated you are or not educated you are. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are. It doesn't matter what race you are. It doesn't matter what creed you are. It doesn't matter what color you are. It doesn't matter what color your eyes are. It doesn't matter what color your hair is. He created us to be his friends. He wants you now. You, the person you look at in the mirror every morning, he wants to be your friend. Please accept the offer. Good night.